Revelation 21 is the scripture today. Listen to it. Revelation chapter 21, begin reading in verse 1. And John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fire lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death.'" In 1952, a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick stepped into the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island, and it was her intention to swim back to the mainland of California, many miles away. Florence Chadwick had already swam the English Channel over and back. It was a cold, chilly, foggy day when she made that swim. She was in the water for 15 hours. There was a trail boat, Steve, alongside of her, and her mother was in the boat. She swam for 15 hours, and she became exhausted, and finally she had to give up and quit, get in the boat. And she got in the boat. It was a very foggy day, and she said you couldn't even hardly see the hand in front of your face. But here's what she said. She said, "All I could see was the fog." She said, "I think," and by the way, when she got in the boat, she was 1/2 mile from the shore. But she said this. She said, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." This morning we read in Revelation 21 a great passage about heaven. And I believe this morning we'd have real revival in the church. I believe it would excite us if we could know what's going on, if we could just get a glimpse of heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul wrote, "Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." And Jesus said over in Matthew 24, "The king shall say to them on the right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you since the foundation of the earth.'" I believe, Mike, if we could get a glimpse into heaven this morning, it would really do something for us. It'd give us a kick spiritually. It would fire us up spiritually. Three men got a glimpse of heaven. Three times the curtain of heaven. One of them was Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The Bible says, actually, before they stoned Stephen, the Bible says Stephen looked up and he said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And I preached a sermon here one time on standing up. And that's the one time in the Bible. The Bible says, Matt, that when Jesus went back to heaven, that he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. But the Bible says, when that man of God, when Stephen died, that the Son of God got up. He got up out of his chair in heaven. And Stephen said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." He got a glimpse. Another man that got a glimpse was Paul. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "Charlie," he said, "I had a vision from God. I went to the third heaven." He said, "I saw things that I can't even tell anybody. So precious, so holy." And then over John, over in Revelation, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." I hope that happens every time we come to church, brother. You ought to get in the Spirit every time. He said, "On the Lord's day." Because I believe, frankly, I don't know if God will let us see things unless we really get in the Spirit. But the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God pulled back the curtains of heaven and let him see the let him see what heaven looked like on the inside. And we have a lot of that. The streets of gold and the river of life, and there are a lot of things talked about heaven. I want to make 3 points about heaven this morning, and I'm reminded of that old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up there beyond the blue." I hope I've heard that old song. Love that old song. And I want to tell you, though, this morning that there is a new world coming. Make 3 points real quick. A disease, a destination, and then number three is a decision. Number one is a disease. We're all going to leave this world one day because we all have a disease. And you know what it is? It's not cancer. It is mortality. We're all mortal. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 that we came from dust, and to dust thou shalt return. We'll go back to dust one day. By the way, you know what the present death rate is in this country? What is it? You deacons know it because y'all don't answer the questions because y'all heard it. What do you think the present death rate is in our country? 100%. Better be. 100%. We're all going back one day. We are. These bodies are going to wear out one day. I'm going to tell you what your body, you are. We just a bunch of a pile of, one day we'll be a pile of dust. You are liquid molecules. That's all you are. And one day the Bible says we'll go back to dust. We came from dust, we go back to dust. All of us are going to meet our maker. By the way, they say that statistics are about 3 people every second. 3 people leave this world. 180 an hour, 250,000 people a day leave this world. They said a lot of people don't like to think about it. Not maybe the most pleasant thought to think about. They say Louis the 14th, they said he hated the word death so bad, he decreed he would not even allow them to use the word death in his presence. He didn't want to think about it. But death is real. You may not like to think about it, but death is real. And the scripture teaches that death is certain. The Bible teaches in James chapter 4, he said, "Your life is short. What is your life anyway but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away?" Life is short. Death is certain. But then I want to say that the third thing is, the problem is we're sinners. And the problem of that is sin has consequences. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And it's just that simple. And the way life has consequences, the way we live here has consequences. And I think all of you realize that what we do here, all of life is a preparation for eternity. And we're just getting ready to live, really. And that's why Paul wrote in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, he said, "Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So that's number one, a disease. We all got it. And we all, it means we're all going to leave this world. Number two, a destination. All right? What is heaven like? John 14, Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And the Bible said, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, that we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in there. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, what's the destination like? What's going on, you think, in heaven? By the way, I believe that, that one of these days, I'm going to leave, see it, and I'm going to an intermediate heaven. Now listen to me. An intermediate heaven. Not the final heaven. Because the Bible says one day there'll be a what? A new heaven and a new earth. But I believe here's what's going to happen. I believe that first of all, I believe it's going to be the rapture of the church. By the way, I'm a premillennial. You know what? If you don't know what that means, see Craig at the service. He'll tell you. A premillennial. But I believe in, number one, the rapture of the church. And then I believe the tribulation period. How long will it last? 7 years. Then I believe Christ is going to return. And then the millennial kingdom. And that'll be 1,000 years of peace. And then I believe after that, at the close of that, the bodily resurrection. And then the last thing, Rick, is the final judgment. And then after that, we'll move to a new heaven. And that'll be our ultimate home for all of eternity. We'll be awestruck people, won't we? What's heaven going to be like? Number one, I want to make 3 or 4 points. Number one, we'll live in a city. I don't know much about it. But here's what I know. We'll live in a city. And the name of that city is what? New Jerusalem. And the Bible says over in Hebrews 11, And verse 13, a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I want to tell you something. I've been to some beautiful places. I've been to Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? I tell you nothing, Phil, a beautiful place, West Point, New York. How many of y'all been to West Point, New York? A lot of you. It's a beautiful place. I've been to nothing as the Great Smokies. My daddy thought coming out of Mississippi, he's a farmer, worked with his hands. I didn't think, Ann, you'd go anywhere for a vacation but the Great Smokies. I thought that was a beautiful place. How many of y'all been to the Great Smokies? And then all of us, we've all been to the ocean. Matter of fact, about half our crowd down there today probably at the ocean, you know. But that's a beautiful place, isn't it? It's a beautiful place. But I want to tell you, there's no place like New Jerusalem. The Bible says a new heaven and a new earth and a city. Let me tell you, I believe heaven, Bob, is a real place. I don't believe the greatest man that ever lived would lie about anything. And Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare what? A place for you. I believe it's a real place. All right, here's number two. We're going to have a new city. We live in a new city. We live in a new body. And the Bible says over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, we live in a body fashioned like unto his own glorious body. And that'll mean there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. I told the first crowd this morning, do y'all know who Uncle Arthur is? Any of y'all have an Uncle Arthur? What am I talking about, Pamela? Talking about that Uncle Arthritis. That's right. It worries me some days. But one day, I lay all that aside. No more. And there's too many jumps in it. So I made too many of those parachute jumps. And too much running Ardennes Street. But one day, we'll get a new body. Going to live in a new city. Going to live in a new body. Third thing is this. And that is, we'll eat and drink in the kingdom. Eat and drink in the kingdom. What are we going to do over there? Well, Revelation 19:9 says it speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Luke 22, Jesus said we will eat and drink at his table in the kingdom. I've been to some great banquets. I've been to a few up at West Point, New York. We have some great banquets. I go to a family reunion. I've been to pretty good meals here around Enterprise, Alabama. Matter of fact, my wife sets a pretty good table every night. Every night, me and Doris eat pretty good. But I want to tell you something. There's no banquet. The Bible says one day that we'll go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to do a wedding down in Tampa, Florida, the end of the month. I'll be gone on Thursday and Friday, so I'll be back on Sunday. And I'll be looking for you. But I know we're going to a special, special place. And it's going to be great. But there's no banquet. We've never had a party like what we're going to have in heaven. Then the fourth thing I want to say is we'll know one another. I want to believe we'll know one another in heaven because 1 Corinthians 13 says that we will know as we are known. And Paul said, Dr. Joe, in 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, it's my joy to see you again in the presence of the Lord. Paul thought we'd know one another in heaven. Then I want to say, what will daily life be like? Here's one thing, let's see. Revelation chapter 14 says, blessed are those that die in the Lord. Old brother List has gone on to the Lord this week. For they rest from their labors. They rest. What will it be like in heaven? One thing we're going to do, Doth, is rest. Take some long naps. I work hard. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not too smart, but one thing. My daddy raised me to work. There's a worker right over there. There's a lot of workers in here. People that have helped to build this town and build this community and build this country. Workers. And the Bible says one day we're going to sit down. Boy, I used to love it. I was raised on a farm, and when 6 o'clock at night came, Josh, we'd get to go lay that whole handle down, man. Go sit down. Just go to the house. We're going to rest one day. Then another thing says in heaven, in Luke 15:7, that there will be rejoicing in heaven when what happens? Bible says when one sinner repents, there's great and it's the story of the Sermon on the Mount of the prodigal son. It said there's great rejoicing in heaven. And I believe that's another thing we're going to do. We're going to rejoice in heaven. No more suffering or pain or tears. We're going to rest and we're going to rejoice. What will be the greatest thing we do in heaven? I think the greatest thing that's going to happen in heaven is we're going to see his face. That would be the greatest joy of heaven to me is to see Jesus' face. To see him. You know, in Numbers, Exodus 33, Moses saw his glory, the Bible says, but not his face. And then the Bible says this, so blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, what? See God. We're going to see. And by the way, the Bible says, without holiness, that we're not going to see him. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I will tell you, I've seen some presidents. I shaked hands one time with President Clinton at the Army Navy football game. Right out, we met about 50-yard line. And then I was with President Bush. Bush too. I was with him at Army Navy ball game, but he's about three rows up from me. I don't know if I shook it. I've been around some pretty good people, pretty big people. And many of you here 2 years ago, so I made you, we had General Campbell, who was a Force Com commander, four-star, great soldier. He spoke, preached. I baptized his wife Diane that day. But I want to tell you, the greatest thing that's going to happen in heaven, Billy, is we're going to see his face. Amen. We'll see the Lord. Amen? Amen? Now here's the third point I make. First point was what?
Disease.
Number two, but a destination. Here's number three, and that is a decision. A decision. One day it's going to be moving day. I've done that a lot of times in the military. I think I made 22 moves in my life. 22 moves. I made my last move, by the way. Unless CEO runs me off. I'm moving. Matter of fact, when I moved to Enterprise, I packed two suitcases in Ozark, Alabama. By the way, Dr. Blow, where are you? Are you back at Jamie somewhere? All right. I don't see you. All right. I packed two suitcases. Where are you? Hey, Jamie, it's you over in the corner. Hey, I packed two suitcases. That's a new doctor in town. Told me she came to take Roger Williams' place. I said, praise the Lord. I'm kidding. We love Roger Williams. You know that. Roger moved to the... He's working in the emergency room now, but he's working in her... James working in the practice with you, I think, isn't your money. But anyway, I moved two suitcases. And that's all I moved. And I'm just now moving that stuff. One of these days, John, I believe this, moving day's coming. The new house is going to be ready. And Jesus said in Matthew 25, since the foundation of the world, come and receive what I prepared for you. Since the foundation of the world, God's been working on our home. Some of you live in beautiful homes. I live in a wonderful home. And I don't care if it's 5,000 or 55,000 or 500,000. I don't care. You can still have a home. But one day it's going to be moving day. And it all depends on what decision you make. I've been to a lot of funerals lately, and sometimes, Chase, you hear him preach it. You hear a preacher get up and he preach it. Y'all ever heard of a preacher could preach people into heaven? I mean, how many of you know what universalism is? Universalism is where you believe everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to be saved. You believe that, Dr. Locke? I don't believe it either. Jesus said that there's a decision to make. Two ways of life. There's two ways. And he said, really, there's only one way to go in it. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And it all depends. Our rewards and our future over there depends on what we do here. It's just that simple. And the Bible says, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. I hate to be a hellfire preacher. But I tell you this, I'm going to warn people. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. I'm going to tell you what that book teaches. And it says those whose names are not written in the book. So I want to ask you today, is your name in the book? Have you made that decision to make Jesus, to trust Him as your Savior and make Him your Lord? I close with this. I'm thinking this week about the happiest day of my life. I've had a lot of them. And I told the deacons this morning in the early service, one of the happiest days of my life was on the 30th day of April last year. Anybody know what happened that day? Y'all don't tell it. See, do you know what happened that day? Dr. Frank Wells was right here. He didn't know how to turn the lights on in the church. Joanne, are you back there somewhere? He didn't even know Frank. Joanne was here, and Frank didn't know. And he said, how do you turn these lights on? We got married right here on the spot. It's a magic spot right here. Anybody want to come stand in this place? But Frank stood right there, and me and C and Doris and Joanne here, and one other person beside the Holy Spirit was here, was Cindy Quisenberry. She was making pictures, making snapshots. That was a happy day. I had a lot of happy days. But one of the happiest days that stands out in my memory was a day in 1991. I got off a plane. I had been overseas for about 9 months. That's before the wars really started. But I'd been deployed for 9 months. When I left, I didn't know if I'd come home. Tell you what I did. Jamie, I wrote a letter and sent it to my oldest sister in St. Louis. And I said, if I don't come home from war, here's what I want to. You give this to Martha and my family. But thank God she never had to mail that letter. And I got a lot of letters that I kept from war. She wrote me every day, sometimes twice a day. Isn't that good? I numbered them, man. It was 280-something letters, I think, I had during those that time. But she numbered them. But let me tell you, one of the happiest days I ever had was when we came home. And I was ready. I tell you, I was one of the first to get out that door. I was. You know, you've seen pictures, and some of you soldiers, if you've been up in the top of that airplane, had that flag, had the American flag. Somebody had it sticking on top of the plane, and that American flag, and I was in there with about 500 soldiers. Been off to war when we came home. My wife, my three little kids, they were there, and waving those flags. And I got home, and they had our yard and my house all plastered. Welcome home, Daddy. Welcome home. One day I'm really going home. I don't know when that day is going to be, and you don't know. Lister didn't know last week. He didn't know. But he's gone home. It's not a bad thing for a Christian, is it? Right? Oh, bud, that's not a bad thing if you know where you're going, is it? If you know where you're going. If you got your reservations made. But by the way, don't take a wait and see attitude. Some people say, well, I'll just wait and see what happens. You know, well, see, don't take that attitude. You do all you can do. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's my prayer for you, that if there's one here today that has never believed on Jesus, that they consider all I said and know that there's a decision to make. We're going to stand together and sing a hymn just